All right, so how did you guys get invited to the Cruiserweight Classic? How did that happen?
Well, it's they're speaking. Basically, we were exchanging emails. You know, we've stayed in touch with WWE over the last several years, just, you know, letting them know what we're doing, where we're working, and whatnot. So in February, we got an email from the Talent Relations Department saying that, hey, based on your guys' in-ring ability, what you guys bring, we think you guys will be a great fit for a network special that we're trying to produce. So, you know, one thing led to another, and we had to keep it obviously all under wraps until we were given the green light to talk about it. But it was about a lengthy 6-month process because, you know, until you're actually there, you never know what can happen and things can change overnight. But luckily, everything was smooth sailing.
Yeah, I have to ask you guys, like, what was it like to walk into the Performance Center for the first time and see all of that talent there ready to, like, do this?
Yeah, no, it's Harvey right now. Walking into the Performance Center itself initially is, it's you know, you've seen pictures of it on TV and you've seen guys talk about how it's state-of-the-art facility, and then you walk in and you're like, it blows you away. You know, you think, because we're all used to independent wrestling, you know, and to walk on such a, you know, big feel like that, it's truly mind-boggling, and you can't even put it into words, and it's just a beautiful facility. And then, yeah, you see the 32 other wrestlers from around the world, and it was just great catching up with so many guys, and it was just like shooting the breeze with, you know, how we're talking right now. Everybody was cool, everybody was there to make an impact, and everybody was there to help each other out, you know, and we're all the boys, you know, at the end of the day. We've all been this for a few years, everyone that was there, so it's kind of cool, you know, just mingling with guys you kind of heard about and guys you cross paths.
The coolest part about being at the Performance Center was just seeing the way it's set up, and like Hart said, you know, 2 years here in the other, the 6-7 rings that they got, the promo room they have a room where you can sit down, watch back your matches. Just, it's unbelievable. You can't go wrong being at the Performance Center.
You know, I think Hunter said it the best, and he was like, this is what our business should be, you know, and he's like, I've always envisioned that our business should be at this level, you know, like, it's like the NFL, and it was, when he said that, I was like, that's true, you know, first, everybody's so accustomed to independent wrestling, and that's fine, but to see wrestling on that level is pretty cool, and seeing the business evolve.
Speaking of the indies, you know, you guys had some really influential trainers and people that helped you along the way, like Harley Race, Rip Rogers, Danny Davis. What lessons do you think that they taught you, prepared you the most for that day that you were in the fitness center, the Performance Center?
They definitely thought out the basics. You know, when you first start out, you're rushing everything. You're rushing your matches. You're rushing your thoughts. But, you know, the thing I learned the most from Harley Race was, you know, less is more, making everything mean something. Obviously, Rip Rogers, they got the same school of thought, right? Rip Rogers is somebody that, when you look back and you're like, man, like, those 2-3 camps that we did with them in Louisville, Kentucky, you know, it shaped us as who we are. And, you know, Rip was always really kind to us, learned a lot from him. Just a basic, not only just a basic, but why you do certain things, when to do them. And psychology is such an important part to an important part of wrestling, and you credit those guys for teaching you all that.
So you just mentioned before, you know, those guys kind of taught you who you are. So a lot of people are going to watch the Cruiserweight Classic, and they're not going to know who you are. So, or it's going to be the first time that they're going to see you guys perform. So if you can, let us know, like, who are you? What makes you special in the ring?
I think with Gerb and I, you know, the kind of name gives it away. We're the Bollywood boys. And I think what you're going to find with us, it's kind of what Eddie Guerrero and kind of Chavo Guerrero did with the Los Guerreros type of thing, the Latino Heat character. So we were playing up our Indian heritage, which we're very proud of. We're from Canada, but we're very proud of our Indian heritage. And, you know, wrestling is based on stereotypes. You know, you look at the history of wrestling, it's always based on ethnic stereotypes. And obviously we're Indian, so we had to play that up. But what we've done is, it's brought in something that's cool, unique, it's hip, it's never been done in wrestling, and it's kind of the character of the Bollywood boys. And we're kind of like the modern-day rockers, you can kind of say. You could call us the Mumbai Rockers if you want. And
nice.
So, you know, we're baby faces that go in there, and we love to have a good time, but at the same time, we love to deliver. And that's one of the reasons we're in the Cruiserweight Classic, is because WWE felt that over the years we've delivered enough on the independents and we've gotten a big opportunity in life here.
And the cool, another cool thing just to add to that point is,
sure,
you know, again, we're embracing our heritage, embracing our culture, but we're doing it, because everybody knows the Bollywood. I mean, you're based out of New York, and New York's got a huge Indian demographic.
Sure.
And, you know, New York has also, like, had some of the biggest Bollywood films shot in New York, produced out there as well. So, you know, New York obviously knows what Bollywood is, and the entire world knows what Bollywood is. So it's one of those things where people connect with us right away. They know who we are. They try to figure out whether, you know, who are these guys? What's their deal? So it's very straightforward. And, you know, from kids to adults to, you know, everyone in between can relate to our characters.
All right, like, what kind of tag team are you guys in the sense that, like, I don't know, from my point of view, like, I see there's always two different types of tag teams. You got, like, the Matt and Jeff Hardy. They're two charismatic kids that together make something very special, but alone they can be solid. They can be singles guys. Or there's the other tag team, like somebody like the Legion of Doom. Hawk and Animal were amazing, but they were never able to be, like, those superstar singles performers by themselves. How do you guys see yourself, like, now and then in the future?
Well, I think that's one of the things that, you know, it's hard to deal in, you know, hypothetical situations. And that's kind of one of the things where, you know, when the time comes to deal with that. And Gerv and I both have unique personalities on our own.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, you know, 2016, our strong suit is tag team wrestling. And that's what we've been doing for the last few years. And that's what brought us to the dance, you know. And you look at the greatest singles wrestlers of all time, from Steve Austin to Bret Hart to Shawn Michaels. They all found their footing as tag teams. Because
sure,
there's a unique art in tag team wrestling. And I think you become a better storyteller in the ring through tag team wrestling, because this thing Gerv does, I'm like, oh, I never thought of that, you know, and
yeah,
vice versa. And so you become better over time. At the end of the day, you think there's, as opposed to two people in the ring, there's four people in the ring. So the more you see wrestling while you're wrestling, the better you get. And so that is the focus of tag team wrestling right now. And but at the same time, yeah, Gerv and I are unique. We look different. We bring different personalities, even in our promos and even our somewhat of our in-ring work, but other than that, tag team wrestling is what our goal is at.
And another cool thing about being tag team wrestlers is that, again, you know, you can work off of each other, you, especially when it comes to promos. You know, you can deliver just working off of each other. And also, being smaller guys, we talk about Matt and Jeff Hardy, they were never big guys, right? So to really make a name for themselves, to really make it in the business, they had to go through their tag team. Now look at Edge and Christian. You know, they were tall guys, but they weren't necessarily big guys, right? So it's a way for us to break into the business, but right now we're not looking past anything but tag team wrestling. We really want to make a name for ourselves, you know, as a really well-established tag team.
Speaking of making a name for yourselves, you guys have kind of been mainstays in Elite Canadian Championship Wrestling over the last couple of years. Talk about that promotion, how they've helped you kind of get to this point.
Yeah, ECCW has definitely, you know, given us that platform to, you know, become who we are today. We were given the green light to, and there was never like, hey, okay, this is what you guys are going to be. We were the Bollywood boys well before, you know, the WWE opportunity that came up. And, you know, before that, we were looking at the Bollywood Lions, and we went Bollywood boys after our opportunity was ranked the same. So, you know, ECW obviously has given us a huge platform to excel at our art form, and from producing highlight videos to just the overall presentation of the company, it really stands out. And I don't think there's any independent promotion in Canada, let alone, you know, where we are, that can go toe-to-toe with them when it comes to production value.
So ECCW plays a big role in your development, but you guys have been pretty much champions wherever you've gone. And Global Force Wrestling, you guys are the first ever tag team champions. How has Global Force played a role in you guys becoming what you are?
You know, that was a real cool moment to last year when we went down to Las Vegas and got a chance to work out there with GFW. You know, it was like a big city environment, the entertainment capital world, and, you know, you kind of finally get a chance to perform in a big city like that. And to become the World Tag Team Champions, that was kind of like, that was our goal starting out in the wrestling business, was, hey, man, it'd be cool to become a tag team champion company. And it was kind of like a reward for us, like all our years of hard work. and kind of validated for us that we're on the right path, and then to keep going, and eventually, somehow, some way, our, you know, a big break will be around the corner.
And to add to that, I mean, we wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for Jester. He really discovered us. He believed in us 5 years ago and brought us in, you know, into India for Rank the King Project. Mm-hmm. Believed in us to bring us into Globalforce Wrestling, put us on the map as a tag team champion. So again, you know, there wouldn't be no Bollywood Boys if there wasn't no Jeff Jarrett, and that Jeff really he backed us up and supported us from seeing our work since day one. And you know, going back to your previous question, to sum it up, I think Jeff put it the best word, like the Indian Rock and Roll Express.
Nice. What was it like in the Cruiserweight Classic to work with Drew Gulak and Noam Dar?
Personally, for me, I have a lot of respect for Gulak. I mean, I've known about him, like, you hear about these guys over the years, and I don't think I could have had a better opponent that night going into, you know, the WWE ring and just learning the WWE style of wrestling, you know, and credit to Gulak, and he really, you know, he really brought it, and I learned a lot from him that one night, and personally, I would love to get back in the ring with him, because he's one of those guys where you can always learn from. And he brings the best out of you.
I think Daniel Bryan summed it the best in the bracketology that, you know, Harv and I are the underdogs going into this. And that's true, because we don't necessarily have that international experience. So being able to get into the ring with a guy like Noam Dar, who brings that European style, which is something that we've always wanted to work on, and to be able to work with that style with our style. And, you know, again, being tag team wrestlers, obviously tag team wrestling is 90% of what our matches are. So to be able to break out of that for, you know, what, you know, 12, 15 minutes, whatever it is, and to combine the two, it was really cool just to work with a guy like Norma. And he's a young guy, but man, he could really go.